Whoa.
We're rocking it.
We're rocking it.
Whoa.
Whoa.
We're prepared to rock it for you, studio audience.
Hi.
We don't have a studio audience, do we?
No, we do.
Oh, there they are.
Yeah.
God, they were so quiet. I didn't even see them there.
They were really excited.
Yeah, they're pumped.
Yep.
Very, very glad you put down that trombone. All right.
I'll try.
Okay, good.
How was I playing it and talking? What was I blowing air out of?
You do mention butts an awful lot.
I do.
Welcome, everybody, to Tapes and Scowls. I'm Tim.
I am not Tim.
You are not. You are Max.
Yes.
And we're here to talk about some movies like we always do. Before we do, Max, this is going up relatively soon. How was your horror convention?
My horror convention was pretty good. We were at the New Jersey Horror Convention and Film Festival. We were there to promote a new project, and I guess it's not secret anymore. I keep saying there's a secret project. It's not. We are doing a feature film. We're making one. And so if that's not scary enough, we're making it, and it's based on our web series, Memoirs of the Macabre, which is an anthology horror. It will be anthology horror, so keep your ears peeled for that.
Peeling ears is just the only way to keep up with the hippest and coolest, you know?
Yeah, that and potatoes. You peel them.
Yep. So, Max, you want to go first?
Sure. Sure. We can talk about this film.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a film I watched in April, I think.
And odds are good.
Yeah, it's 2018's, I think that's an 8, The Standoff at Sparrow Creek.
Yes, I wanted to watch this very badly before we did this episode, and I failed.
That's okay.
I'm
maybe sad. I'll encourage you to watch it. We'll see.
There you go.
Or I'll be like, you made a great choice. Don't watch it.
Ooh.
We're going to find out.
Here comes the moment of truth.
Yeah, so it was directed by Harry Dunham. Sorry, Harry, if I said that wrong, because my handwriting is poor and I used a very, very thick pen here.
Looks pretty, though.
It looks nice. It's starring James Badge Dale and Patrick Fischler. It's a movie that is about a mass shooting at a police funeral. And a reclusive ex-cop finds himself unwittingly forced out of retirement when he realizes the killer belongs to a small militia that he joined after quitting the force.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wasn't James Badge Dale in, like, my Bigfoot movie or something?
I believe so.
He was in one of the movies.
I think you're right.
Good for you, James Badge Dale.
Yeah, he does a great job in this movie. So basically, there was the shooting. There's all these dudes come together and like, what's going on? Are we like, you know, are we ready to go? We swing into action because we're a militia? And they're like, I don't know. We have to find out what the hell's going on. And so this character has to kind of look into things, interrogate the other militia folks, and try to figure out exactly what went on, why it went on, and what the truth is. Where the truth is, what the truth is, are one of them, are some of them like not on the level? What's going on? So it's this very kind of dark suspense type movie.
Yeah, the trailer was very suspenseful, and I loved how they did it. Very dark.
Yes.
Very dark. Just like the tone of the room was very dark. Like you can't see anything.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Very contrasty, and yeah. Not like in a bad like they didn't know how to light it way, but in a very we're going for heavy contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. And it is stark. It's a kind of a one room. They're in like a warehouse pretty much the whole time. So it's a very one room kind of thriller. Very small, very well handled. I think a great movie. I believe this is the director's debut film.
Okay.
So it was pretty good. A lot of fun. The actors are great in it. They really do a good job of selling all the tension. But I liked it a lot. So I think you should watch it and force your wife to watch it.
I will force her.
I think you should. Tie her down. That's right. She wants the teeth crawl out. I mean, I'll give her credit for doing that. But
by the way, teeth crawl t-shirts are available online, everybody.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Teespring, I think I put it on.
Yeah.
I'd Google it. You'll find it.
Yeah, it's worth at least looking at.
Yeah.
Because that art is...
It's very Ratfink.
It is. It is like this intersection of Ratfink and Bob Camp, where it's like, oh my God, I don't want to look at it, but I can't look away.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Yep.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoy it as well. I'm not just saying that because it's a t-shirt that would support the podcast bought one.
Wink, wink.
Wow.
Nudge, nudge.
So IMDb gave The Standoff at Sparrow Creek 6.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critical score, 77%.
Okay.
And that was 47 critics coming together to give that score.
It's not bad.
No. Audience was a 65, and I landed in the middle, I guess more leaning towards the critical score, with a 7 out of 10.
Nice.
Worth your time for sure.
Yeah, I definitely got to watch it now.
Yeah, you'll dig
it. It's just sitting there on Hulu, not being watched.
Right.
It's so dumb of me.
It's just like, Tim, please watch this.
I want to so bad. All right, well, I'm going to take us to a movie everybody and their mother has seen, and they complained that it was too long. You ready for this?
Sure.
It's Avengers Endgame.
I see.
Yes, this is maybe the 47th movie on that I've watched. I don't know. That number is going to get a little wonky because we skipped around. But this is from this year. I watched it on April 27th in the theater. It is 3 hours, 1 minute long. Genre action, adventure, sci-fi.
Of course, because we can't just say comic book.
Directed by Anthony and Joe Russo, the Russo brothers.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, they got names. Nobody knows their names. They're just always together.
Yeah.
Starring Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, and Mark Ruffalo got the top billing. After the devastating events of Avengers Infinity War, which came out in 2018, the universe is in ruins. With the help of remaining allies, the Avengers assemble once more in order to reverse Thanos' actions and restore balance to the universe. Decent enough explanation. I like that it calls out Infinity War. Like, hey, if you're if you're not a comic person, you're confused what the heck you should be watching these.
Watch this.
What order? You do this one first. The big takeaway, this movie's long as fuck. It's real long.
It's long.
It's a long boy. Ties together many plot points across a million movies, some of which we even forgot about, which I enjoyed. There were some callbacks. Would you consider this, now you've seen this, right?
I have.
Would you consider this a clever use of time travel, or is it a groan-inducing plot device?
Good question. I think they did a good enough job of it that it works, and I think their rules have held together, and I don't want to spoil other movies for people, but they have impacts on other movies.
Right.
Well, I guess that's pretty specific because there's only been one movie since then, so.
So watch that before this is what he's saying.
But yeah, I think it works for the most part. It didn't make me groan, which I was surprised.
I was also surprised by that because I agree they set the rules. They talked about the rules. They referenced other time travel movies kind of jokingly. They're like, look, this is kind of how it's got to be. Let's try it because we have no options.
Yeah.
Did the pacing? I think the pacing was fine. There wasn't like a ton of things I felt needed to come out of the movie.
Right.
And I think if I had anything to gripe about is you basically end this movie, towards the end of it, you have this giant almost like battle, this war scene almost. And I just feel like not enough people were just like staying down and getting beat up. And I think it was a little too clean for me, I think is my gripe.
I agree. It was problematic. It wasn't, to me, as epic as Whedon's work in the first Avengers was. Like, I mean, I just feel like it was a bit of a, like, here's this person, they're going to do a thing. Here's this person, they're going to do a thing. Here's this person. Where Whedon did such a good job in some of those. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of the Avengers, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Whedon does a great job of really being like, look at these giant sweeping moments. I'm going to move the camera around and make the characters look big. Like, I'm going to make essentially movie version of a splash panel.
Right.
And I don't think the Russos quite were on point with that, even in this fight scene where it was just like, cool moment, cool moment, cool moment, cool moment.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people complained about all the women gathering up on the battlefield, and it's like, it's not because it's all women. It's, first of all, they're not going to find each other all on this battlefield one. And my biggest gripe about that scene, because it did take you out for a second in the middle of this giant battle. I think it took me out because I'm like, there's only two of you with powers that should be able to deal head on.
Yeah.
All tough like this.
Nerd.
Yeah, I was like, Captain Marvel and Scarlet Witch are the only ones that should be able to, like, go forward. And like, everybody else has, like, a pistol.
Yeah.
Like, a sword. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
They should be having a way tougher time at this. But yeah, nerd, you're right. So, I think it tied up that first huge chunk of movies about as well as you can.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
IMDb, they gave it an 8.5 out of 10.
That's generous.
It's very huge for them, right? Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes, the critic score. You want to guess it?
Oh, the critic score?
Yeah.
78.
94.
Holy fuck.
I was surprised by that. 94% out of 486 critics. That's a lot of critics to have a 94, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The audience gave it 91%, which doesn't surprise me as much.
No.
65,000 blah, 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 people. I gave it a 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I think that's about where I'd be. 7, probably, right in that wheelhouse. Good.
Yeah.
But wasn't my favorite.
Right. I don't know what maybe Winter Soldier's still my favorite. I don't know. I go all over the place with these things. But I'll tell you, none of these movies are, like, insanely strong on their own, in my opinion. I love them. I enjoy them.
Right.
And I love that they all tie together. But, I mean, I've watched some since that we'll get into later, and I'm like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, I think Guardians is my favorite, but I think even Guardians I'd give, like, maybe an 8.5, 2 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah, Guardians is definitely in my top 3. So. Yeah.
They're good. They're not great.
Right.
So, Tim.
Yep.
This next movie I watched is going to surprise you.
Will it?
Yeah, it's a horror movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah, surprise.
Oh, man. How did you leave your comfort zone?
I'm pushing boundaries on this.
Wait, it's not Universal Monsters?
It's not.
So you did leave your comfort zone.
A little bit. Well, I mean, just the zone of the Blu-ray set that I bought anyway.
Do you look at it like angrily every now and then, like, oh, I gotta do another one?
It's getting worse and worse because I'm in this like barren zone between good movies and Abbott Costello movies.
Which is great.
So like three or four movies for like probably like, well, I guess like 2 to 3 for each monster before I get to the Abbott Costello stuff. And I'm like, why is it so far away? This one I watched a little bit more surprising because I watched this movie on a streaming service because that's the only place it's available.
Nice.
I watched 2016's Hush. It's on Netflix. I watched it in April. It is an hour and 27 minutes long. It is the aforementioned horror. It's also like a home invasion slasher movie.
Mm.
It was directed by Mike Flanagan, who has gone on. He's doing Dr. Sleep. It's coming out here. He's doing, he did Haunting of Hill House, which was really popular. Gerald's Game, which I really dug.
I love that.
Yeah. So all the same dude.
Nice.
It stars his wife, who was the star of, I don't know, was she the star of Gerald's Game? Maybe she was, maybe she wasn't, maybe I'm crazy. She's in it, it's his wife, and John Gallagher Jr. from the movie I liked with the Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane, 10? Yep. Number Cloverfield 10. Lane.
Yep, it's such a ballsy thing to put a number in the title.
Yes, yeah, I have all my DVDs and Blu-rays organized by alphabet, alphabetical.
Alphabeticals.
And I have the numbers before all the letters, and there's like such a small little grouping.
That's how I do it too. I do that with my comics. I do that with, with everything. But yeah, it's like, what's that movie with the blocks that Bruce Willis shoots? It's like, I don't know. It's a number. Just go to the numbers.
Yeah.
How many blocks were
some
there?
Some number of blocks. If it's some number, then go to the numbers.
Yep.
You are correct. This movie is about a deaf writer who is stalked by a mass killer while she's on a writing retreat out in the woods.
I did see the trailer for this. This looked cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's tense. It's well-paced. It's one of those movies where there's just not a lot of people in it. So it's not like you have a high body count. It's not like you're going in for a ton of gore. You're going in for like a very, very classic man versus man conflict. And I think they do a good job. Flanagan does a nice job of having a deaf character as the main character still being able to convey a lot of information to you. There's like some really cool scenes where you as the audience are hearing a phone ring, but she can't hear it.
Nice.
And she can't see the screen or anything because of where she's positioned trying to hide from this guy.
That's a cool device to add a lot of suspense to your horror movie.
It's painful. You're like, oh my God, no, the phone is ringing. And you like, you can hear it and you know she can't. So you're not mad at her. You're just like, no.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. But it was fun. The plot was pretty good. It was a little chunky at points because it's just, you know what I mean? You got to hit that hour and 27 minutes. So there's, but not much in the way of pacing that I had a problem with. Her performance is great. I thought a lot of the direction was clever. There were some parts that legitimately I was like, oh, okay. So I was, that was good. It was fun overall. And I'm kind of worn out on the home invasion stuff.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
Not my favorite thing ever, but pretty good. IMDb 6.6 out of 10. The critic rating, this might be one of those skewed ones. It was only 25 critics, but it was a 92%.
That's cool.
So that's a little, it's like, how many critics does Netflix have, you know, on the Netflix dime?
I would love to dive deeper into this and figure out how that all works.
But. Yeah, me too. And the audience gave it a 73%, and that's kind of where I was. I was at a 7 out of 10 on this one.
Gotcha.
A lot of fun. Two sevens.
Two sevens?
Two sevens.
Can I get us a third seven?
Yeah, let me know.
Oh, man. We're going to be shy, buddy.
Oh.
But I'm going to talk about a movie that no one would have thought I would watch. Because I didn't think I would watch it.
Huh.
And I didn't finish filling out all my information like an idiot.
Uh-oh.
Doesn't matter. I'm talking about The Devil Wears Prada.
Ah. I've seen this movie.
It's from 2006. It's an hour 49 minutes. Comedy drama. I watched it the same day I watched Endgame. It's directed surely by someone.
You watch these movies in the same day?
I know.
Holy shnikes.
So when this came out, Paul from Team Ash, and we were down in DC.
Okay.
For a con.
Right.
Went the weekend it came out, and we're like, well, we missed part of the con reasons, and I was like, let's just go see Endgame.
Okay.
And then he's like, oh, it's my favorite movie. Like in the hotel, he's like, oh, it's my favorite movie. I love this movie. I'm like, what, really? Why? He goes, I just love it. Watch it. I'm like, all right, whatever. So he doesn't sound anything like that. That's favorite part.
Yeah, that was a.
But he loves it. He goes, this is like it's one of his top movies. And it's just, everybody has that movie where they're like, why do you like that movie? I don't know, but I love it.
It's a well done movie.
It's a fine movie. It's got Glenn Close in it and Anne Hathaway. Or not Glenn Close, Meryl Streep.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one.
That's her.
That's the mean old lady.
That's the mean old lady.
A smart and sensible new graduate lands a job as an assistant to Miranda Priestly, the demanding editor-in-chief of a high fashion magazine. The reason I've never sought out this movie, because I know it's good. I've heard it's good. I hate mean movies.
Mm.
I like being a jerk character, being the dick in the movie, I love. But when you're just like brutal and everyone's brutal and it's just like, come on, how am I supposed to find any enjoyment in this?
Sure.
This movie epitomizes that mm-hmm. to where no one is nice to Anne Hathaway's character probably until like the last 10 minutes of this friggin' fest.
Sure.
So I hate movies like that where it's just like, hey, this woman's clearly trying and doing her best and everyone just shits all over
her. Yeah, it's like these cringe movies.
I hate that.
Yeah, me too.
Anne Hathaway is good at emoting how awful the runaround side of her job is.
Sure.
And they really ask her some insane tasks that I'm shocked she succeeds at all at any of them. But Meryl Streep is perfect as an insufferable bitch.
Mm-hmm.
She is so good. And I'm like, man, if this was like a small dose, if this character was smaller doses and not the whole point of this movie, I think I would have loved it.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm not all about this. But like, you know, as like this dude who loves tough action movies and dumb horror movies, like it's about a fashion magazine and it's
fine. Stop being mean to that girl.
It's fine. Yeah, I'm over here.
People getting their head exploded.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop being mean
to
that girl.
Stop being mean. She's trying her best. She ran all around town and she didn't get to drink her coffee. Please.
Yeah.
In high heels, no less.
Yep.
But yeah, I did not love this the way Paul loved it, but I watched it and it was fine. And I can understand if you enjoy the Mean Girl kind of movie for adults. This is Mean Girls for adults, essentially.
Yep. Professional Mean Girls.
Professional Mean Girls.
Yeah.
How that has to be the name of this episode. It's done well, so.
It is. Really well done movie. And the reason it works so well is because you feel legitimately awful through most of the movie.
Yeah, and I think just because movies are meant to be escapism, it's like, I don't want to, like, work all week and then be, like, watching this 2-hour movie about how sucky working all week is, you know?
Yep.
I don't know. I need to, that's probably why I watch such weird movies. I need to get out. I need to get out of normal headspace.
No, I'm with you. I like escapism.
Absolutely. IMDb gave this a 6.9 out of 10.
Nice.
About right.
69.
Takes finger. I like the finger in hole. Got it.
Ding.
Ding. Rotten Tomatoes critically gave it a 75% out of 193 critics. The audience gave it 76% out of over 500,000 people.
Sure.
Seems fairly definitive.
I think so.
And no, we did not get a 7 from me. Ironically, we got a 6.5.
Fair enough.
So the fact that this movie is clearly not for me and I still gave it a 6.5 should speak volumes.
I think so. I think that's very fair of you.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. We're done.
Yeah, get the hell out of here.
Go. You're not allowed to stay here no mores.